Who are you?
Tim Callender.
Summer Brooks.
Brett Filipek.
We host the Babylon podcast.
What do you want?
To study and discuss the Babylon 5 universe.
Where are you going?
To discover every scrap of B5 memorabilia.
Who do you serve, and who do you trust?
And welcome back to another Babylon podcast. I'm Summer Brooks.
I am Tim Callender.
And we have a special guest coming back, Margene Holden. Welcome.
Wow. Thank you. That was the round of applause for myself.
And the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild. Yeah.
They are going wild, I am sure.
Yes.
Well, thanks for coming back on. We do appreciate it.
Hey, I am excited. You guys said, yeah, sure, we'll have you back on the show. I was like, good, I didn't suck.
You were an absolute treat. Everyone was just giddy and chirping all during the, I should say tweeting, while we were talking to you. And I believe we have some voicemails for you later once we get done. And so we're going to be talking in a couple minutes about rules of the game, where you get to flex your superhero muscles.
Yeah. My super doctor muscles.
So before we take a break and then get into that, is there any new things happening in your life that you can share with us? I know last time we talked, you were working on something that you were hopefully selling. Any more news about that you can share with us?
No more news yet. We've got to go into do some rewrites on it first, but I've just been over in Europe doing some of the transformational training that I do with the company Success Resources overseas. So had some great students that got to come and participate in one of our courses, which was just absolutely phenomenal. I was in Germany and Amsterdam and Milan. Wow. And yeah, it was really cool. Really cool. And some people over there were fans of the show, and some were fans of Beastmaster. So it was kind of cool. It was awesome.
Neat. Now, when you say rewrites, is this a typical thing? Because usually, when fans hear rewrites, that means, oh God, it sucks, and they got to start all over again.
Yeah. No. We the script that we're working on right now, the science fiction script Three Moon Rising, it just needs to be updated. The writer has really grown since he first wrote it. Like he was a kid when he wrote it, you know? So when you're really young and you're green and you've got ideas, you just, you know, you put them down on paper and you just get them down and get them out there. And now that he's got more experience, I mean, both of us are older. I mean, it's a script that we've been talking about for a while. I don't know if I mentioned that last time I was on the show, but we've been talking about this for a while. And now both of us are like, we're ready, because we're just very different people now than we were, 10, 15 years ago. So now we know exactly the kind of movie we want to make, and we want to know how we want to make it. We want to know who we want. You know, we just know more now. And so we're going to incorporate some new, there's a lot of new technology that's out. So we're going to incorporate that into the process. So it's a lot different than, you know, making a movie 15 years ago.
Right. Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah. That sounds like good news then.
Yes, it is good news. It is good news. And being overseas, you know, and just doing the courses that I do, you know, I just come across people that are really into science fiction and into what I'm doing, and, you know, ready to invest money. So it's all a good thing. It's all part of the grand scheme of the universe.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Excellent. You'll definitely have to keep us abreast of any developments so we can help promote them both here and on Slice of Sci-Fi.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, Summer, what do you say? We'll take a break and then we'll come back and we'll do some deep geeking.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B-Movie Reel.
Do something. Shoot it! Shoot it!
That about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since there have been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
Digging down to the minutest arcani of the B5 universe, this is Deep Geeking.
And the Deep Geeking will commence.
Mind you, that's not de-geeking. We're not de-geeking.
Nope.
We will be geeks until the end.
Yes, we take every minutia of every episode and discuss it to death. And even beyond death.
Yes.
We have fun because we ask the questions and... Literally, it's because of how much we love both B5 and Crusade that we pay so much attention to it and talk about the stories they tell. And I know you understand that because you loved it too.
Yes, I did. I mean, I still love it. I was, just watching a couple of the episodes the other day, and I was like, man, we had a good time. God, we had so much fun.
So how is it for you to watch an episode as opposed to having been involved in the creation of it?
It's whenever I watch what I'm doing, it's like I always run back and look at, okay, if I remember shooting the scenes, right?
Yeah.
And I go, okay, what was the set like? And how did we do it? And what was the camera setup like? And I just watch it very differently. And I'm like, what am I doing with my hand? And God, why am I doing that? And trying to like correct my behavior of what I don't like looking at visually. Not that it's bad or anything like that, but this is just like little idiosyncrasies that I see in myself when I don't know what else to do with myself.
I go,
huh. That's really interesting. I'm like, every episode that I'm in, if I don't know what to do with my hands, I just cross them. So anyone that goes back and watches the episodes, you'll see. It's like, okay, there's the moment where she's like in contemplation of, okay, now what do I do with my hands? So let me just stick them to my body. it's hilarious, and I'm like going, God. But as an actor, you don't want to be consciously thinking, like when you're in the scene, don't you cross your arms while you're doing that dialogue. Don't do it, because you're trying to be in the moment of relating to the other actor as opposed to in your head about doing something weird.
Well, to give people a quick reminder and overview of rules of the game, which I think on the DVD is episode 7, but in the revised order is episode 13 or 12. There's like 15 different orders to watch these episodes. And we actually started a 3-week long debate on what order to use to watch these episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you just view them all as standalones, I think you're okay.
There you go.
And actually, that almost works. You're right about that.
Yeah,
they are. This is the non-arc episode that JMS was going for. We'll leave it at that. He already did the arc series. He conquered that. Planted that flag on the moon. This is his non-arc series. We're good.
Yes.
So, quick overview for everybody. Rules of the game, we have two storylines. The A storyline involves Gideon and Lockley trying to persuade a very particular race of aliens, the Lorcans, to allow the Excalibur to explore their world and look for artifacts from the civilization that was there before they arrived. The B story involves Dr. Sarah Chambers being an action figure.
Yeah.
Actually, it involves her being a very fashionable action figure and Max Eilerson dealing with things in only the fashion that Max can.
I have a confession to make.
Oh.
We're confessing now.
We are confessing, and this is it. Until this episode, I thought Max Eilerson was gay.
Right. Oh wow!
Really?
And it's not like he came off as this flaming character. There was just something that I read in the character that said gay to me. So it was like. I admit a certain amount of embarrassment that I had that sort of preconception that certain affectations meant a particular orientation. So as okay. all good science fiction should, it challenges one's preconceptions. But that was, to me, that was the biggest shock of the whole episode. It's like, wow, I was so totally wrong.
Wow. I am surprised that one geek did not recognize another geek.
You know, yeah. What can I say? Maybe because he had the hot wife or the hot yeah. ex-wife.
But even before that, he was still pretty much yeah. a geek.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I completely. What can I say? What can I say? So one of the things that's interesting this episode, and especially to want to hear your take on it, Margene, is that relationship between Sarah Chambers and Max Eilerson. You know, when yeah. we first see it, it's very contentious and almost. Contentious isn't even the word. You guys are insulting.
Right. Yeah, there was no love between Max and I. You know, not at all. He represented the anti, hey, let's find a cure and save humanity for my character. You know, for Sarah, right. she was like, you know what, look, I know all about you. You just want money, and you're that corporate guy that's going to exploit everything that we do. And, you know, just stay out of my face, you know, do yourself a favor and stay out of my face, because it's going to be bad otherwise.
And I think that's interesting, because it may have come across that they came to a different understanding of each other later on. But what struck me as funny in this episode is, once again, Max is offering to chauffeur a woman around, to show her the sights. It's like, hey, I'll escort you around because, you know, I can take care of both of us. And you're like, nah, I could take care of myself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was that was pretty funny. I thought, oh wow, that's really novel of you now, you know.
So when to do a little summary here, Max is contacted by his ex-wife Cynthia, who finds herself basically at the mercy of a loan shark for a huge amount, and she's begging him for help, and he helps with half the money that she owes, but apparently, you know, it comes off as he's going to just let her hang otherwise, to
right.
her great frustration. But Max calls in Sarah to stand as, well, we don't quite realize it's bodyguard, but that's what she becomes.
Right.
And when the goon shows up, Sarah takes him down. Now, Margene, how much of that did you just choreograph, because you have experience in that? I mean, did the director say, here's what I want you to do, here's what I want you to do, or did he just say, have at?
Well, no, the stunt coordinator and I had talked about it and said, you know, kind of, you know, this is, I mean, how it originally came about was, you know, when I think we were doing a table read or something of the episode, or when we first met with JMS about, you know, our characters and things like that, I had said to him, I said, hey, you know, if by chance you need me to like kick somebody's ass in an episode, you know, I can do that too. And he was like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. So, because up until then, it's like I hadn't had any physical contact with anyone else. And I was watching another one of the episodes where I'm like running and asking for help. And then here I am. I'm like, huh, like two episodes I was running and asking for help. And now here I am kicking a bad guy's ass. God, something strange about this, huh? You know, it was really wild. It was funny, but yeah, we had talked about it with the stunt coordinator. It wasn't going to be anything huge or massive or anything like that. So it just sort of had to be, a couple of moves and that was it, enough to give him, you know, the, oh, so it's going to be like that. Okay. Give him enough ammunition to go and, you know, carry on further with his plans to, you know, grab the cat and, you know, do all that stuff.
Gotcha.
How many takes did that actually take?
Oh God. You're almost asking the impossible. You're asking me to remember something. Wow. Yeesh. God, I don't know. Well, as I recall, you know, we never really did a whole lot of takes on stuff. You know, it's like if it was two or three takes, that was it. Turn around for the other angle, you know, and done. You know, we didn't do a whole lot of takes. Yeah, it wasn't something that we spent a lot of time on. So it was just like making sure that the camera angle was right to make sure that the punch actually looked like it connected and all of that good stuff.
So no contact accidents then?
Yeah, no, there were no contact accidents in that one. I mean, I've had contact accidents in other projects, but not in this one. Yeah.
So the next thing that we see out of that with Max is that he really does care, which, you know, that he's got something outside of himself that he cares about. And that was neat. And I did like the whole business with the, he opens up the cabinets and there's all those odd relics, which after he pulls the one gun down, you figure they're all weapons of some kind.
Yes.
And
that was a cool thing. I love that.
Yeah.
And you sat there and you wondered, does he keep those because they are weapons or because they are the ones that held his fascination the most and he didn't want to get rid of them?
You know, I suspect, given what Cynthia says about Max's background, about being beaten up, I wonder if this isn't just him remembering that. And even though he's now has a position of great importance and one could argue power, you know, it's like, hey, here's a weapon. I can use this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he just sort of, you know, was one of those things where every time he came across something cool, he was like, I'm just going to stockpile this for one of two reasons. One, because it's going to fetch a pretty penny on the black market one day, and I'll just hold on to as much stuff as I can, right? And the other, for protection of, you know what, I might need this one day.
Yeah. I don't know when. I don't know why.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, we get a hint of how twisted JMS's imagination can be, because that device was pretty, I don't know. That was.
Oh, come on. He got that from The Running Man.
Right.
Oh, it's been a long, you're right. It's been a long, long time since I've seen that, though. So don't mind. Okay.
Actually, there's probably an earlier story that type of device has come from. But the first time I saw it, I thought, wow, Running Man.
Right.
Now there's a story I'd like to see redone with JMS writing it.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you imagine how just deliciously twisted he could get with that story?
Yeah.
Okay, tangent time.
I was going to say, don't give him another project. I'm apparently not getting my Lensman movie, and I'm unhappy about that, so.
Oh, you poor dear. but in the end, we have Max saving the day.
Yes.
And one of the three loves of his life with ingenuity, guile, and a little bit of devilishness.
Yes, definitely a little bit of devilishness.
But I like that, you know, the comment he makes, and in my life there's only three things that I've ever loved: work, that damn cat, and you. And it's like, and you can tell just looking at how he almost has to choke that out.
Yeah.
You know, David Alan Brooks' performance in that. I mean, he's Margene, I'm sorry, I have to say it. Max was my favorite character on that show.
Yeah.
I love
okay.
you. You're wonderful. But I guess because he seemed to be the most, I guess I could identify with some of his issues. Not the
right.
smart part that I won't cop to that one. But you know, I mean, you could see how hard it was for him to admit to having emotions.
Yes.
You know, and that was really moving to know that. And then, of course, the end with the picture of Mr. Kitty.
I know, right?
Yeah. Poor Mr. Kitty.
Yeah. Was Mr. Kitty ever on the set?
No, Mr. Kitty was just a picture. Yeah. Mr. Kitty never made it to set.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just always something that we just had to dream about. Yes.
So then we've got the other side of the story with Lockley and Gideon
mm-hmm.
Dealing with the Lorkins and their secret.
Their shadiness.
Yes. Exactly.
We have
chemistry.
Yes, we have chemistry. We have, literally, it seemed like it was an Indiana Jones adventure that started off as a bet. It turned into a hunt for lunch. That turned
yes.
into an Indiana Jones adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That turned into Showtime After Dark.
Yes.
Well, that made me wonder because, you know, there's all the discussion that's gone on about how much TNT wanted to sex that show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the shot in the Dark Star of that cabaret performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, was that the tip to TNT, and then we get the shower scene. It's like, wow.
I know, right?
Wait a minute.
It's like overload in one episode.
Yeah, you want it? We got it. Here it is.
Yeah.
What was that, from being on the set, Margene, did you guys know that was a directive coming down from TNT?
Yeah, JMS had talked about it with us,
uh-huh.
and... Yeah, he didn't want to make that show. He just,
right.
he was like, no, I'm not making that. I don't want to make that show. You know, I don't want a whole lot of, you know, it's not, you know, as he put it, it's not Wrestling Babes in Space, you know?
Yeah.
We're not doing that. This is the continuation of 5 years of, you know.
Right.
Good TV.
Right. Yeah. And it's really funny because all of the Wrestling Babes in Space have now moved over to Sci-Fi Channel, and TNT is now home of some of the best drama programming on there. That's
I know, exactly.
Wild to me.
Yeah.
And you can actually say, hey, my series Crusade started that trend.
Yeah. You know, they went through a big transformation, you know, and it's sad that we couldn't, you know, work it out to be on for, you know, at least an entire season and,
yeah,
you know, right. Another one after that, because I think it would have just held strong, you know, and it just would have proven to be, you know, a good, solid market for them.
Sigh.
Yeah.
I know.
Burns me.
Sorry.
All day. That's okay. It's not your fault.
Sorry. We get this way all the time with it, so.
That was the big dun-dun-dun.
Now, see, I wonder. I really,
now,
really
now
wonder.
Now, something does make me wonder, though, because you were talking earlier, Margene, about the table reading.
Mm-hmm.
How does something like a shower scene get dealt with at the table reading?
We didn't actually talk about that. Yeah, we didn't ever talk about that because, you know, mostly we got together before the series started to get an insight onto the arc of the show and how he wanted to develop the characters over time and, you know, some of the things that they were going to come across in, you know, seasons two and season three and, you know, the whole planning of it. So I think, you know, some of that stuff didn't actually come down until after we were already, you know, in production.
Gotcha.
You know, after the first initial run of the first nine or whatever. And then the network was like, well, you know, can we just, yeah. So I don't know.
Okay.
So did you guys read through the scripts in groups or one at a time every couple of weeks?
We actually never did a full read through of any of the scripts, you know, except for the first one. I think we did the first one that we, God, what was the first episode that we shot? It was, oh God, I can't even remember. Warzone. I think it was Warzone. And I think we went through the first episode and then after that it was, you know, we didn't do table reads. We just came in and, you know, cause then we were in production. So, we set up the first one and did that. And then it was like, okay, we're full on into production and here's your schedule and come in and do your scenes. And, you know, cause each of us had, you know, we didn't always work with each other, you know, like Daniel Day Kim and I think we talked about Daniel Day Kim and I didn't even actually speak to each other in the series until like the ninth episode or something. Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. We never had a conversation. So we just made up our own backstory, you know, that we had had some torrid affair and didn't want anyone to know. So nice. We avoided each other.
That was going to be my question, because we talked with David Alan Brooks and uh-huh. subsequently in the Crusade Other Voices, David had worked up an extensive backstory for Max Eilerson.
Right, I'm sure he did.
I was wondering whether or not you had done that for Sarah Chambers, but obviously, you know, there's a torrid affair that we don't need to know any more about.
Yes, we decided that, you know, we ended up in the bullet car with each other once, and we didn't even look at each other. And I'm like, how come we don't ever speak to each other? What is that? And he was like, I don't know. I was like, did we have some, like raunchy torrid affair and nobody's supposed to know about it. And oh my God, here we are in the same ship together. Don't look at me. You know? And if you get sick, don't come to the sick bay for God's sakes, you know?
Right. Right.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know, and then the whole bullet card thing is that whole, Hitchcockian train in the tunnel nonsense. Yes.
No sex in the bullet car. Yeah.
This is what happened. Years ago, there was a frat party on Mars. They woke up. They woke up after a 3-day bender and went, "Oh God!"
Yes. And what have we done?
Yeah. And when they met again on the Excalibur, it's like, "Oh, you? I'm going this way."
That's yeah, right. Right. Oh, hi. Hi. Yeah. Hi.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's funny. That's funny.
I am still trying to email Daniel Day Kim's people to see if we can get him on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Very much.
Yeah, he's busy and famous now. Kind of tough.
I know, exactly, right? My God, we lost touch. Every once in a while I run into him, like every 4 years, but...
Does he remember you, or are you just one of the little people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we all remember each other. Yeah, we just don't speak to each other.
That's good. Well, in fact, you know, now that you mention it, there isn't any Lieutenant Matheson in this episode at all.
Right.
Oh, wow, there isn't.
Yeah.
Almost.
Oh, you know, there's no Galen, but that's not surprising.
And right. There's no Darina either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
The character piece on Babylon 5.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Oh, yeah. No, it was drama.
Okay, I know we have at least 4 or 5 voicemails from listeners from your previous appearance. And I want to make sure we have enough time for you to respond to their eager questions.
Awesome.
All right, so we're going to take a really, really quick break and come back with more questions for Margene.
Yay!
Listen, I know how you feel. I've been there. You feel like you had a dream to write. Once. There were stories in your head that were unparalleled and so much better than the stuff you bought in bookstores. You would be an author. You would show them all. But maybe along the way, you got discouraged. Maybe you bowed to the demands of life, family, career. Maybe you just thought you wouldn't be good enough or that it was too late. But I'm here to tell you, you should be writing. At 5 years old, I Should Be Writing is one of the first writing podcasts. Author Mer Lafferty speaks to wannabe writers on the issues of keeping going from the beginning early stages of writing to keeping professional in the later stages of building a career. I speak weekly to professional authors about their work, their process, and advice that they have for you. There really is nothing stopping you. No, not that. Not that either. Nope. Whatever you're thinking of, it can't stop you. Trust me. Listen to I Should Be Writing at ishouldbewriting.com and learn more. Twice weekly and free, ishouldbewriting.com. Because you should be writing.
But I should be writing. I should be working on my craft.
And we're back with a little bit of feedback for our special guest. We actually, every now and then, get the timing on voicemails right.
Yeah.
Just every now and then.
Well, this is Neil from Bowie, looking for Show 231 and the comments about Max Eilerson and Dr. Chambers' characters. Their behavior towards each other, and that got me thinking that it might be interesting if you do get Margene to do deep thinking with you, then you know, to talk about some of that with the characters playing off each other. Be good to see her point of view and you know, other interviews similarly how they developed. These behaviors towards the other characters in the series. That's all.
Okay, huh. Well, you know, it was interesting to, you know, when I met David, we were at the test, in the network test together. And we had gotten to talking to each other and, you know, just sort of hit it off. And I had recognized him from doing commercials and things like that. So we had gotten to talking about, you know, he hadn't done a whole lot of theatrical work. So this was one of the first pieces that he was going to actually take on as, you know, a real dramatic piece for himself. And, you know, we just, our cast was, you know, because we were so small, we had a different bond than I think being on a cast that was a lot larger. And, you know, there were a lot of characters in the B5 universe, whereas in Crusade, there weren't that many of us. So it was fun to actually hang out with each other just as friends and then get to, you know, go into our characters and really have sort of the different ways of being with each other as characters, you know, depending on, you know, we came from, you know, those characters come from two totally different schools of thought. You know, one's from exploitation of the exploration of artifacts, you know, and mine's from the sheer point of humanity of, you know, how can I be of service and how can I help? You know, it's like one's in take mode and the other's in give mode.
Right. So do you think that had the or what you were told but from JMS, would the two characters have found common ground or moved toward each other in some fashion?
I think so. I think after, you know, especially after this episode and seeing his reaction to Cynthia, because none of us even knew about her.
Right.
And he never said anything. Like, we all just assumed, oh, well, God, you know, of course, why would he ever have been married? Because, you know, he's just not the marrying kind. You know, right. It's like he doesn't really have a heart. So why would, why, you know, from my perspective, it's like, of course, you know. But so when it does happen, it's like, oh, wow. Huh. Interesting. Very interesting.
And it did seem like Sarah appreciated Max a little bit more after hearing his backstory from Cynthia.
Yes. Yeah, and knowing everything that he went through, you know, that still didn't, you know, in some of the other episodes, and because our order was always so different, it's like it's hard to know, like okay, was this before was this after I gave him a little bit of slack for being such an asshole, or was this before that, you know?
The famous line from Racing the Night, he's the king of the pig people.
Yes. Yes. King of the
wow.
Pig people.
A little harsh. A little harsh.
You know, he just got on my bad side.
Well, it's enough for Billy. Still listening to Martine talk with you and mention of a Crusade miniseries. Got me thinking that, you know, they could do it and all the planets that they visit look like Hawaii. There you go. That'll bring Daniel Day-Kim in there. He doesn't have to. He can still stay in Hawaii. Everybody just goes to him. And we've got our Crusade miniseries with the full cast.
Hey, I'm all down with like going to Hawaii to shoot like multiple episodes of off planet stuff. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Star Trek, they had class M planets. We can have class H planets.
That's right. You know, it's like, wow, this looks mysteriously like the last one. How strange and odd. You know, it's so tropical and lush.
Yeah, well, why would you want to go visit a cold planet? That's crazy talk.
Well, exactly. Exactly. You know, I have to go and, like, put on clothes and, like, you know, bundle up. And, yeah, there's not really any life down here. It's freezing.
Yeah, we'd all like to see the Earth Force Regulation bikini.
Oh, my goodness. Neil, what? You're killing me. When as soon as you guys said that, I started thinking of what Drazis and Bracaris would look like in grass skirts, and that just was
yikes.
Wrong. That's Pac-Rod. Don't go there. Don't go there. Yeah. Just don't do it. Don't do it. I will take the mental hit for everyone. Just don't do it.
Just say no.
Hey, Bobcast, this is Gary, and I'm listening to the interview with Ms. Holden, and it was a really fun interview to listen to. I think it's probably my favorite interview you've had in some time on the show, and it just did a really great job. And finally, I never expected to actually, you know, learn more about Babylon 5, but I had never actually heard of Crusade Babes. I'm going to have to go to the Wayback Machine and see if I can pull something up, because it really piqued my interest to learn something new about Babylon 5 and Crusade. Just when you think you know it all or read all the books, Summer pulls the card out of her hat like that. Good job, guys, all around. Take care. Bye.
Awesome. Oh, Gary, thank you. That was a great message.
I honestly don't know if Crusade Babes got saved by the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't even tried to check out and see, like, hey, let's just go to it now.
Well, no, if you go to it now, it's Japanese porn.
Oh, great. That's, yes. You know, that's what we degenerate to, you know.
Yeah, but no, there got, was,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. There was, I think if you go to archive.org, you can actually search as far back, I believe, as 1996 or 7. And they actually have snapshots of different websites that have been archived literally over the years. And some websites, there are lots of information. Some of them, there's nothing. And I never went and checked. Because as soon as I saw Japanese porn, I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, like I'm out.
So that'll have to be a project we get our minions on.
Yes. I'm sure they're all hammering away right now.
Neil is in the chat room, and he's saying, yeah, it's there. So we're going to have to
all right,
make
Neil,
some effort.
Yeah.
Neil, this is your homework assignment for the week, sweetie. Go and grab all of the data you can for that, and we'll do something with it.
Yeah. I'd be interested. Whoa. It's like the revival of Crusade Babes. We're making a comeback. We're making a comeback in the universe.
We can work on that. I have skills.
Yeah. We like that.
Mike, we got any more voicemails there?
Yeah, there's one here.
There's one.
Hey, Babcasters, it's Gary, and I'm listening to you discuss, Ruling from the Tomb, or Rules from the Tomb, and I do have the benefit of having read other voices, too, at this point, but the point I want to address is this whole Gideon having Sheridan as a hero. Now, we have an inside track seeing, you know, behind the scenes with Sheridan, but as far as I can tell, you know, he was basically put up as someone who, you know, rebelled for the right reasons. And as I remember President Lutsenko's discussions with Sheridan, you know, it was pretty mixed, but it was pretty much accepted at the same time that he, you know, did rebel against the chain of command, et cetera, and so forth. And honestly, that does sound like my type of person that Gideon would admire, somebody who works outside the system to some extent, or at least subverts it to do what needs to be done. Now, being on a high-profile mission like this crusade to find the cure for the drop plague, I don't think that's the usual PR that he can put out. He's got to sort of, you know, tuck his tail between his legs just a little bit while he's trying to do all this stuff. So I could see him not wanting to mention Sheridan as his hero and go with someone more respectable, perhaps General Franklin or something along those lines. But given that this wasn't somewhat intimate setting, I could see him opening up and saying that he really did admire the man for what he is and what he's done. So I have to call shenanigans on Tim objecting this time. I'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Wow.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Calling shenanigans. Nah, I'm right.
I got your back, Gary. I got your back. Just because of what Sheridan did after the split from Earth and what Gideon is doing during Crusade, they are both carrying on the Whedonite tradition. We have done the impossible, and that makes us mighty.
Yeah, he just doesn't, I don't know.
It just seemed like it was
set up for the joke. It just didn't seem like it made sense. And the joke was a good joke. Don't get me wrong, but
I will give you that. It may have been convenient for the storyline to throw humor in there, but there is a ring of truth to it.
I don't think so.
I do.
Okay. Well, you can think what you want.
And I'm right.
I'm still right. No, I'm right.
Oh, I'm right.
So I'm sorry you had to witness that, Margie.
This is what we do. a lot.
You know, it's all right. It's not a, you know, an actual debate if, you know, you don't do that kind of stuff, right?
Right. And it's not really an actual debate. I'm just telling her she's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Here you go. It was just more of a statement then.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Right. Tim has his opinion. I have the truth.
Yeah.
You can't have opinions about the truth. What are you talking about?
Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. So have you, for your projects, for your upcoming projects, do you have websites where people can keep tabs on what you're doing? Because I want to help promote this project. I want to help let other geeks know that you're trying to give us more good sci-fi.
Yeah, that super geek is on the move.
Yes.
Super geek is on the move. I don't have anything up yet. You know, my website, MargeneHolden.com, it's like, every once in a while, I'll put stuff up there, and I'll send out an email. I mean, anyone's more than welcome to come and sign up on my website for the newsletter. I mean, I don't write constant emails and, you know, send out stuff repeatedly. So every once in a while, like every quarter, I'll send something out and send an article out or a question or whatever. But, you know, my Facebook page, Margene Holden Fans on Facebook, I update that like much more regularly than anything else. So people can always, you know, come onto Facebook and, you know, come to the fan site, and I keep everybody posted pretty much on what I'm doing from there.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've got some pretty cool, I got some fun pictures up there right now with Tim Thomerson and Lance Henriksen from a project that a friend of mine is doing. And Tim Thomerson and I were in Nemesis together. So years and years and years ago.
Wow, that's some serious old school sci-fi muscle right there, both of those guys.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I was telling Lance about the project, and it sounded fascinating to him, so he said, "Let me know when you get it rewritten, and I'll take a look at it." So,
awesome!
Yeah.
Well, you definitely have to keep us up to date on what you're doing.
Oh God, yeah, for sure. I'll take all the publicity I can.
And who spreads the word better than geeks, right? We rule
the
internet.
Right.
We rule the internet.
Rule the internet. And, you know, that's like I was saying to somebody, they're like, "Well, why do you like sci-fi so much?" And I say, you know, because science fiction fans are the most loyal fans on the planet, like in the universe, really. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we just are. It's just the way it is. It's like when you're down with something on a science fiction level, it's like you're there till the end, and then beyond. You know, I sit and it's just like, and I've always loved science fiction. I've always loved it. So, you know, I will be a sci-fi geek until the end.
Yep. And we are all right there with you. So thank you again for sharing your time with us and giving us a few more insights on a very, actually a very fun episode.
Yes.
And, I did a lot.
Yeah. And I must say that the opening of this episode where Sarah and Max are strolling through Babylon 5, I saw what you meant about having, you know, Macy's and high end fashion in space.
Yeah.
Like, where did she keep that outfit?
I know. Right? I was like, hey, yay, if you're going to give me some cool clothes and I'm going to be a fashion doctor, right on, whatever. I'm all good with that. I was like, you know, and it became the joke. It really did become the joke. It's like, Gary Cole, you see, he's like, oh my God, did you change your clothes again? I'm like, yes, I did, as a matter of fact. It's a new scene. He's like, holy crap. I'm like, hey, I'm not the captain of the ship. I'm the doctor. I don't really have a uniform. I can wear what I want.
That's exactly right. And you keep your own hours.
Nice.
That's right. It's my lab, and that's how I'm going to run it.
Now, turn your head off.
That's right. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, go put your Starfleet uniform back on.
Oh, that's it. A dig at Star Trek. That's how we're going to end this episode.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you so much for sharing your time with us this evening.
And of course, you're always welcome to come back on whenever.
Always.
Hey, I'm right there. We'll do the slice of sci-fi too. I'm all up for it. You guys are great. Guys, girl are great.
Got you down on the list. And for our listeners out there, the website is BabylonPodcast.com. If you want to send in an email or a little voicemail that you've recorded yourself, the email address is BabylonPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to join in the forums, FarpointForums.com, look for Babylon Podcast. And as always, if you want to call in your own voicemail message, that number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
Your Margene kicked ass.
And we will see you next time on the other side of the action hero sequence.